The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
Well, now I'm joined by transport commentator and consultant to the RIAC, Conor Faulkner. Conor, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. Hi.
Now, first of all, the Irish Examiner has a report this morning. Over 500,000 Irish drivers have penalty points. Are you surprised?
No, and actually I think it's very good data and it's a good look at it from the Irish Examiner. Over 500,000 drivers, you think, hey, that sounds bad. We must be behaving badly out there. Bear in mind there's 3.4 million licences. So it's around about 13%, 13% of all licensed drivers. It's a higher percentage of active
and
drivers.
And everybody perhaps has been nabbed from time to time inadvertently.
Well, you know, it could happen to a bishop, as they say. Yeah. But there's good data to suggest that essentially we've got a four yellow card system, right? Four yellow cards before you're kicked off the road because it's 3 points a pop. If you get a 3 point sanction, you actually become less likely to reoffend.
Yeah.
And the number of people who've come all the way to 12 points, it's actually less than 1,000, 866. So that's not bad. That actually, if you were just looking at a blank canvas and trying to imagine how a well-functioning penalty point system should work, that's the sort of pattern you'd look for. Now, they could be catching more people overall, but that pattern, I think, is about the right one.
Okay, so it's a good sensational number, but when you dive down into it, it's not so shocking at all.
It's not so shocking, and it probably shows what a reasonably well-functioning system should look like.
Now, we've just talked to Malcolm there about the AI committee. You've been looking at the newly constituted transport committee and what it might have to discuss and what it might produce for us.
Yeah, indeed. Habemus Transport Committee at long last. Dáil business has been, or Oireachtas business has been, pretty shamefully slow off the mark in this term. I mean, normally we would have expected all of the committees to be up and running sometime around Paddy's Day. But Dáil speaking rights and a sort of a general lack of maturity in there has delayed business. So in a flurry, the committees are all being put together. So the Transport Committee actually has its first meeting at 9:30 this morning. That's a bit procedural. They'll confirm the Cathaoirleach, who's Michael Murphy of Fine Gael. They'll probably elect a last Cathaoirleach, and then they'll go into private session and start arguing about what should be on their agenda. But it's really important, I think. I mean, sometimes that committee system is derided, but having been in front of Oireachtas committees many times over the years and all sorts of issues, road safety, insurance, various bits and pieces, they actually do work well, and we need them. We need that level of scrutiny because there's a lot going on and a lot about to go on in the transport sector that we do need proper scrutiny of.
Now, have you any clues as to what the priorities are for the chair?
Well, I was trying to find that out yesterday and everybody's being rather coy, but the only indication I have is that there is a bee in the current chair's bonnet, and that is about the waiting list for driving tests. So I would expect the RSA to probably be nearly the first witnesses. It wouldn't surprise me if they're in next week. I do happen to know that the RSA is about to announce a great big initiative on that waiting list. In fact, they'll be out tomorrow.
Beat the committee kind of thing.
Well,
so they can go in and say, look what we've just announced.
Well, they'll probably plead that, but they will be announcing a suite of initiatives. They've got a sort of a big plan. The current average wait is 27 weeks. Crazy. Far too long. They say they want to get it to 10 weeks and they'll have a plan to get there before the end of this year. Now, I'm scratching my chin about that because this has been their plan for a long time and they haven't come close to achieving it.
Isn't it a very complicated system that you have to kind of apply to get on the waiting list to get it? You know, you don't go straight onto the waiting list once you've done the theory test.
No, you actually have to apply for a driving test and take your place in the queue. The big blocker actually was employing driving testers. Crazy delay. But
I was listening to an item on radio where someone applies for a driving test and they say, we'll let you know when you're on the list.
Yeah, well,
so you don't even get onto the waiting list until a certain
sort of
amount of time.
A pre-waiting list. We've a couple of things that we have said before. Now, we currently have 100,000 people in the queue. That's unsatisfactory. It's very poor. National average waiting list of about 27 weeks. That's terrible. It's got to be improved. But they are doing a couple of things that we know about already. They have sanctioned to recruit 70 new testers. There's only 144 employed. They've sanctioned to recruit 70 more. That's going to be really useful.
70?
70.
Okay.
And the other thing is that, to be fair to the RSA, they've always been pretty good on the dynamic management of the list. So if you just join the queue and say, I'll wait in the queue, it's going to take 6 months. Well, if you're doing it properly, you should be spending those 6 months doing your compulsory lessons and doing your accompanied driving. So a 6 month wait might actually be around about correct for you in the process. There's no reason for you to speed it up. On the other hand, you might desperately need a license because you have a job offer or something like that. And they're actually very good at offering cancellation and emergency tests when people need them. It's loaves and fishes, but they have managed it quite well.
Now, meantime, of course, if you don't have a car license and you're not willing to brave, you know, dodge the Gardaí by having no qualified driver beside you, you have to take public transport. And there's a problem. If you don't have a bus that delivers you, what do you do?
Yeah, and if you are living in, say, rural Galway, and you're about to start a degree in UCG, or, you know, anywhere in Dublin, if you want to come up to Dublin for college, it's a huge burden on those people. Either you pay Dublin rents, which, as you've been talking about all morning, Pat, is not something you really do, or you're letting yourself in for a monster commute. And we're very reliant on public transport. That's going to be the huge focus, I would suggest, for the committee. Bus Connects is about to hit the ground hard, in a sense that, you know, we've been hearing Bus Connects as a buzzword for years and years and years now, and seeing very little of it. There are 12 key corridors in Dublin. They now all have full planning permission. There's a few still being challenged, but they all have permission. So you may actually start seeing construction work before the end of this year. And, you know, my personal opinion, the world events might prove me wrong, but I think that will be really when it hits the fan, because only then will Dubliners appreciate what permission they've given and what is actually going to happen to the surface of the city. Because in my opinion, it's nightmarish. I mean, you are literally talking about constructing 12 bus motorways.
I mean, that's the reality, isn't it? That they will be able to progress pretty fast along these bus corridors. So woe betide anyone who gets in the way.
But oh, what a price for the visual landscape of the city, Pat. I mean, you are literally talking about cutting down mature trees. So the leaf-lined suburban avenues of places like Rathfarnham and Terenure and Phibsborough literally being cut down. And what's put in place, how would I picture it? If you imagine Nicholas Street coming into town, huge wide dual carriageway, imagine something with that footprint, but actually only accommodating one lane of traffic, and the rest of it being devoted to a bus express lane and a dedicated cycle lane. So it's now a transport artery. And as I say, cutting down mature trees as they do it. The city is making a long-term bet on buses instead of metro, which is a generational strategic error, and it is going to scar the surface of the city as it does.
I mean, if you think of, there was some disruption with the building of the Port Tunnel, but minimal, really, when you consider
and
that
it's underground.
It's underground. They were able to tunnel.
Yeah.
Now, I know that's maybe difficult in the kind of granite terrain of Dublin City compared to some of the softer terrains in continental cities.
It's far, far easier than London. Which got chalk and all sorts of other challenges. Geologically, there's no difficulty doing it in Dublin. Dublin Port Tunnel was a relatively easy project. I remember touring it under construction. These tunnel guys who spend their careers, you know, 7 years here, 7 years there, Dublin for this decade, then Dubai, building tunnels all over the world. Dublin was relatively easy, And that is what we should be doing. Instead, we are spending billions on scarring the surface of the city to create motorways. But we like these motorways because they're not for cars, they're for buses. And as I say, most people are just kind of scratching their chin going, Bus Connects, yeah, I want a good bus service. I believe that when they see what it actually means on the surface of the city, they're going to hate it. I think it's transport's answer to Wood Quay.
But I don't know, there must be some ideologue designing all of these things. I mean, I was walking down Fitzwilliam Street yesterday and parking in the middle of the road. You've got bicycle lanes. You've got the footpath, then a bicycle lane, then car parking. I mean, it's insane. It's so dangerous, potentially.
And it, look, it is the opposite of that sort of nice old town medieval city.
And they get rid of parking meters because they were unsightly, and we're all doing it online now with our phones. And then they stick up plastic sticks everywhere.
Oh, those wands. I mean, it's a terrible hodgepodge of bad design. And in a sense, I mean, the long arc of this is that we really don't like cars. Four wheels, bad. I mean, at one stage I was involved in something called a demand management working group, you know, with the last government. I was one of the few people involved in it. And it was, you know, to reduce car use. And I asked the open question, what if it's an emission-free electric car? And it turned out that didn't change the mindset at all. It was still four wheels and we wanted out of the city. So I'm going like, this is, you know, if you're giving me the climate as your big justification for all of this, how can you, you know, not respond to electric vehicles as if they were a good thing. But as I say, the Dubliners, the citizens of Dublin, don't quite realise what's... It's a bit like saying, you know, there was a planning permission row about the local... Oh, I never paid much attention to that, doesn't really affect me. And then you realise somebody's constructing a 20-foot, you know, a 20-storey tower right beside you, and then you go mad because you realise what it truly means. And I suspect that that will be how Bus Connect looks when they start constructing
and
it.
And I'm sure they'll have road safety on their minds. I mean, we had an e-scooter accident in Cavan reported this morning. A transport security force for the Dart and the Lewis.
Yeah, should we have a separate transport police like we have a separate airport police? You know, again, perhaps I'm a little old-fashioned on this. I'm not fussed about that. We just need more guards. I don't care if they got transport written on their bib rather than something else. We just need more guards.
Conor Faulkner, transport commentator, consultant to the RIAC. Conor, thank you very much. Now,
the Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.